Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast for Sunday, April 11th, 2021. Today's sermon will be from Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2. If you would like to follow along, go to gracebaptistchurchnc.org, click the sermons link at the top, and click today's manuscript. Welcome to Grace Baptist Church.
To Grace, if you would stand with me, I'm going to go ahead and open us in a word of prayer, and then we will jump into the music. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day and the beautiful weather that you've given us, for the moment that you've blessed us with to come together worshiping, singing songs of praise, reading from your word, and learning from the sermon. I pray that today you would still and quiet all of the busyness in our minds and lives so that we may focus on you now and worship you as you are our God. In your son's name, amen.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. Be the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail. Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the wondrous mystery, he the perfect Son of Man, in his living, in his suffering, never traced nor stain of sin. See the truth.
Father God, help us today as we sing this music, that you would still our hearts, that you'd quiet all the noise in our lives so that we might focus on and worship you today. In your son's name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning. Announcements. I'm on. We have Caitlin's baby shower next Sunday, April 18th at 1 p.m. Please RSVP with Rosalie. It will be at Rosalie's house. Prayer request. There was just a few on the list over there. Crystal Moore. Starts cancer treatment. Robert Leslie family, that's Mary Welch's nephew. Pray for that family. Also continue to remember the Gurleys, remember Zach, and continue to remember Amy. Her and Kinsley are dance deal today, so she's not here this morning. I'm going to read 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 15. And then I'm going to pray. And after I pray, Jeremiah's going to come up, tell us a little bit about Ramadan, and then pray again for that. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me, and I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. May we remember these things today. May we remember these things always. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this great reminder of your word here. Lord, cause us this morning to put off sinful desire, to put on what you have placed for us, what you have granted to us that pertains to life and to godliness. Lord, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for what we were able to just celebrate last Sunday with your resurrection. Lord, that and the power and the grace that it grants to us in this life. Lord, cause us to love one another. Cause us to lift up one another. Cause us to be after these things that are profit us godliness. And Lord, just cause us to grow in you, Lord. Be with us as a church today, Lord, as we recall these things, as we hear your word preached, as we sing praises to you, as we sing such doctrine and grace and theology that we sing here this morning. Lord, just work in our hearts, work in our minds. Lord, cause us to hear these things anew today. Lord, if sin be in our hearts, Lord, as we hear these things, Lord, change our hearts. Lord, bring about repentance today. Lord, save those who do not know you today. Lord, soften hardened hearts by your gospel truth. Lord, cause us to rejoice at what you have provided for us, Lord. And Lord, as we see the things of this world, as we see how sin has affected life. We see lots of sickness and problems. And Lord, we lift these things up to you, Lord. We lift up to you Crystal Moore with cancer treatment starting. And we lift up our own Zach and Amy as they too are in the midst of a battle for health, for life. And Lord, just we ask that you would heal. We ask that you would guide the doctors, that you would work among these fellow brothers and sisters, Lord. And Lord, we just ask that you would work, give great hope, give great peace. And Lord, we lift up the Robert Leslie family, Lord. I don't know what's going on there, but Lord, you do. And Lord, we just entrust you with this. Be with that family, and Lord, just give great hope in Christ. Give great peace there, Lord. Lord, be with our nation, Lord. Lord, bring great healing to our nation. Lord, not healing that man can cause, not revolution or change that political institutions can bring about, but Lord, bring about change of the heart that you can do, and only you can do. Lord, soften and harden hearts, change hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Lord, wake up your church this morning. Lord, cause us to be people of love. Cause us to be people of truth, standing upon the principles of your word. Lord, help us not to bend your word to mean something that it does not mean. Lord, cause us to hold fast to truth, realizing that your word is constant, that it doesn't change for culture, it doesn't change for a generation, it doesn't change for any context, but it is truth, it is constant, it holds fast, and we can depend upon your word to give us truth this morning. We can depend on it to give us truth tomorrow, and the next day, and next month, and next year, and every day of our lives, Lord. Lord, cause us to run to your word when we need peace, when we need hope, when we need encouragement, when we need answers. Lord, cause us to lean upon your principles of truth. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, be with us this morning. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
All right, so this week I was scrolling through Facebook, like probably a lot of you do, and I follow a Muslim scholar, and he said, talking about Ramadan, which apparently the holy month of the Islamic religion. And so it's the holy month because they believe that the Quran was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, who lived 1,600 years ago. And so it's a month of them fasting all day, praying throughout the day. They fast all day and then pray as well, their five prayers. And they believe that, especially during the holy month, this month, their prayers and their fasting will give them merit and some type of forgiveness of sins before the God of Allah. And so I was just very broken by that, thinking that there are over a billion people in this world who this next month will be seeking forgiveness and salvation and will be finding nothing. And their prayers will be empty when we have the true God, the one who came to save his people. And they've heard about Jesus being a teacher and a prophet, but they have not heard about him being king who can save their souls. And so I want to encourage you this month, starting on Tuesday, to pray with me. Pray that Muslims all across the world would be saved this month. Pray that we as Christians and Muslim background believers would be peacemakers, and not peacemakers of just living humble, quiet lives, but also by sharing the gospel with Muslims who need to hear the gospel. And so if you would pray with me during this time, not just listening to me, but really begging the Lord to save Muslims this month. Let's pray. Father, you are holy. Jesus, all glory be to your name. You are the Most High King. Jesus, there is no other like you, and we praise you that you came and lived a perfect life. Jesus, we praise you that you perfectly submitted to the Father's will. We praise you that you died and rose again to save sinners. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would work this month, and in this month where billions of people are striving to be right before a God who doesn't even exist, that you would use people all across the world to share the gospel with them. And Father, in your mercy, that you would save countless Muslims for your glory. Father, even past Muslims that you've saved, that you would allow them to go and in peace share the gospel and not have any fear. Father, even for us as we interact with people this month and many other churches, Father, that you'd give us great boldness in the gospel, great zeal to see your holiness and your glory spread amongst the earth, and ultimately spread the joy that we've experienced. So, Father, I just pray that us as a church, that we this month can pray for Muslims to believe in the gospel, Lord, knowing that you have a perfect plan and your will is working out and you wish for none to perish and you will save people in your timing. And so, Lord, we thank you that you've given us your word and the gospel, and that we can trust in you, that you are perfect and that you will save. And one day there will be countless people who were Muslims standing around the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And we look forward to that day. And Father, we want to be a part of Muslims that we might not ever meet on this earth, becoming Christians and experiencing true joy and true eternal life by the blood that you've given on the cross. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you would, please stand with me and let's sing together.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the Son. Other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me. Is all my hope and faith on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall call with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Rest in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. And on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. What love could remember? No wrongs we have done. omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum, thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What patience would wait as we constantly roam? What Father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood neath a debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. Every morn, our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn, our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay, light of the world Thy darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, since curse has lost its victory, for I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can never pluck me from me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the proclamation that we can sing those words in all truth, that we can stand in Christ alone. I pray that we would be a witness to those around us. As Jeremiah mentioned, the Muslims or those that don't believe in a God, or those that are believers in Hinduism, or all the different idols and false gods out there, that we would be a witness to those people through the power of Christ. As we come now into your word and into the sermon, I pray that you would illuminate the darkness in our hearts where sin may be, that we might be convicted, and that we would stand firm in Christ today and all the days that you've blessed us with. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk. If y'all remember, I might have been saying Habakkuk. Was I saying Habakkuk last week? Was I like confusing everybody? That's the way they say it in Australia. And so I almost said, could everyone turn to H-A-B-A-K-K-U-K? But I even put it in my manuscript. The accent for the Americans is on the Habakkuk. Right? Okay. So turn there where we're going to be today. But also keep your finger there and turn back over to Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. So keep your hand on both of those places for a minute this morning. The book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk, and then Proverbs 3. Before we begin, though, as always, let's pray and let's ask the Lord to give us grace and help at this time. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning again, before these words of Habakkuk, your words to us. I pray that today you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see. I pray the Lord Jesus would be lifted up. Pray that he would increase, that we would decrease, and that we would learn about faith in you. I pray in spite of me you would work greatly, even as we sung, our sins are many, but your mercy, I am thankful, is new every morning, because our sin is ever before us, but your mercy in Christ has covered us. Even as we've sung, no more curse, the grip that sin had on us has been loosened, and there is no longer any hold upon us because of Christ. In his death and his resurrection, there is life. I pray that you give us grace today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. Trust. There's faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I've entitled these two sermons, 2 weeks ago and today, A Recipe for Understanding. And it seems to me, as we read the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk together, that Habakkuk does not lean on his own understanding, but it is a great example to us as one who obeys Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's think about this for a moment. Habakkuk lives at the very end of Israel's time as a sovereign nation, coming to the end of that. He lives after the fall of the northern kingdom, when the Assyrians came down, conquered them, and 10 tribes were taken away into captivity. 2 tribes are left there in the south, the southern kingdom in Jerusalem. So he's living during this time. And the southern kingdom is in serious decline, morally and politically as the great power, rising power of Babylon is now the rising superpower in the world. And the Babylonians, according to Habakkuk's understanding, they are not very moral. They're not a very moral nation. And in fact, if you'll, there in Habakkuk chapter 1, we read there in, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. They are a, these are the words from the Bible. They are a bitter, hasty, dreaded, feared, unjust, violent nation with a great military might. And they do as they please in the nations, with the nations around them. So they're spreading out militarily. And God says to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, I'm calling them to come and be my judge against Israel. He says, Habakkuk, I am the one who will do this. And so Habakkuk, he doesn't understand at all. And he's wondering what's going on. So what does Habakkuk do? This was 2 weeks ago. What does he do in order to get understanding? First, we said this from the text. He appeals to the character of God. That's verses 12 and 13. So he steps back and he says, God, I know who you are. I know what you are like. And that's all I can say. I just know exactly who you are. So he appeals to the character of God. And then he steps back and he waits. And he says, God, I'm going to go to my watchtower and I'm going to wait for your answer. So that is why the sermon I've entitled, this is second part, A Recipe for Understanding. Appeal to the character of God and wait. Today, we come to the third truth of this recipe for understanding, which, by the way, will be part one of two on a message about faith. So next week we're going to be looking at faith again. But look at chapter 2 of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4, the second part. The ESV says, but the righteous shall live by his what? Faith. This is Proverbs 3 there, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Can you think of something we need more in this world than faith, trust in the living God who controls all things? Especially when the consequences of sin, often our own. I have enough of my own sin to think about everybody else's and then think about what's going on in our culture. But there's sickness, there's death, there's political turmoil, there's violence, there's moral decline, and the shifting powers of this world, etc., etc. I cannot think of anything more that we need than faith in the living God. Therefore, the just, the righteous person will live by his faith. So today, I want to give three foundational truths about faith. So very much of a topical sermon, although we will take our truths from the text itself. And then next week, I want to go further and delve down into the specifics of how faith comes to us. Because did you know in the New Testament, this verse, the righteous shall live by faith, is used three different times in the New Testament to teach something. So you might be thinking, John, I'm waiting for that. Well, you'll have to wait till next week to fill in some of these gaps. So know that is coming. And I'm going to leave some things out today. But here is my first truth from this morning about faith. The object of faith is God. Now here, I know I'm stating the obvious. Faith is always in God. It is not in man. It is not in ourselves. The object of our faith is God. We see this throughout the book of Habakkuk. Because what he does here in chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2, and actually all of chapter 1 and 2, Habakkuk, he is contrasting people of faith with the Babylonians. Look with me at verse 4. And think about this as we read these verses. Who are the Babylonians trusting? And who is Habakkuk trusting? And who does God say for us to trust? Verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul is puffed up. So there's pride of the Babylonians. It is not upright within him. Then in verse 5. Moreover, wine is a traitor, an arrogant man. There's pride again. An arrogant man who is never at rest. His greed is as wide as Sheol. Like death, he has never enough. Then notice the next words there. He gathers, talking about Babylon, he gathers for who? Himself. All the nations and collects as his own all peoples. He's speaking about the Babylonians coming out, conquering peoples, taking them for himself. Here we see that the motivation of the Babylonians is what? Self. Habakkuk trusts God. What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Acknowledge him in all your ways. This seems to be the command of the entire Bible to me. Mark 11, 22. Jesus tells his listeners, have faith in God. This is the essence of the first commandment. Think about the first commandment. What does God say in Exodus 20? You shall have no other gods before me. God will not give his glory to another. And so in whom was the Babylonians' faith? Who did they trust? Look back at chapter 1, verse 11. Then they sweep by like the wind and they go on. Guilty men whose own might is their what? Their God. But God says in Isaiah 42, verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I will not give to any other, nor my praise to any carved idol. Brothers and sisters, beloved, the object of faith is God, and God alone. This means that all of our devotions, all of our thoughts, all of our aspirations in this life, all of our hopes, all of our dreams, all of our heart is directed towards God, who says to all of the earth, turn unto me and be saved, all of the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. That is a strong statement. It is the statement that God gives to today. It is the statement he gives to the earth, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. If we look to someone else, we will not find salvation. And that is what we see with the Babylonians. They were looking to themselves. This means that everyone who trusts in or puts their faith in anyone except the living God falls short of God's glory. And the Bible calls this sin number one. This is sin. Consequences of this sin lead to what? Death. Destruction, separation from God, hell, eternal punishment. And on the way for this world going in that direction, there is much heartache, there is much distress, and ultimate emptiness in this life and the life to come. So the Babylonians looked to their own might. They trusted in their own strength in their battles. They praised their riches. They praised their intellect. So if we think about that and try to apply that to what we see around us, and it's nothing new to our culture. It's always been the case since Adam and the fall of man. The world, the powers of this world do the same thing. As we look around, this is what we see in our own culture. We trust in our intellect, don't we? We think we are smart and we know the way. We trust in our political decisions to govern. We trust in our economy, in our wealth, and our ability even to produce over the years one of the wealthiest nations ever on the earth. We trust in our ability to engineer infrastructure. We trust in our military. We even trust in what we consider to be good works as we give a lot of money to help out lots of folks in the world who need help. We do that in this country. Yet in all of these things, we as a country, we have tunnel vision, seeing very, very little. But those who trust in the Almighty Living God see things clearly. I remember when I became a Christian, back when I was a teenager, almost 20 years old, and I've said this to you before, but it's still one of the biggest things that I can say about this point. When God changed my heart, I give glory to God for changing my heart, and when I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and those of you who've done this know what I'm talking about, the blinders come off, the tunnel vision goes away, and immediately, faith is there in the living God, and you see, and I saw, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It becomes big, and we become free. Today, He is the Lord. He is the sovereign King. He is the one who gives us understanding. Let me give one quick application before moving on to truth number two. To trust in God means we obey Him also. Even when the world does not, even when it is difficult, even when we disagree. In fact, we disagree with the world on a lot of things because we stand with objective truth. God is true, and what He says to us, whether we like it or not, whether the world likes it or not, we must stand upon that which is true, and we obey Him. At the end of the day, a sinful person who is not trusting in God, but trusting in him or herself, wants what he or she wants, when he or she wants it, and the way that he or she wants to get it. And to submit to God's ways means that we will not do that. We will not have it our own way. Even as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your paths. This means that if we are trusting in the Lord God, we must change our ways to fit according to what the Scripture says. And at the end of the day, non-Christians, that's what kept us back. That's what keeps the world back, because the world wants what the world wants. And in order to say, yes, I will think differently about a particular issue, is to say God is right and someone else actually has the authority over me to tell me what to do. But you know what? God knows. He is God. He is our Creator. And so He would not tell us to do anything that is wrong or anything that would hurt us in any way, shape, or form. So that's a quick application. Let's move on, though, to another truth we see about faith. First, faith is in the living God. Second, faith is life. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. Again, that's our verse. The righteous shall what? Live by his faith. Now we're going to see at the end, the emphasis of this verse is on living in a certain way, but we cannot escape this word live, because it implies what the root behind it is: life. It is not merely that we live in a certain way when we trust God. We must go deeper. Those who have faith in God have life. And this isn't merely to draw a breath. All right, take a breath with me. If you're taking a breath, you are physically living today. You are alive. We are alive. We take our breath and we are living. But the clear implication of this verse and in this context is not just physical life. It is eternal life. Yes, the Babylonians, they lived. during that time of Habakkuk. But they will perish one day. And yes, Habakkuk, along with me and you, Habakkuk's family, during that time, and all of our families, we will die. We know that. And I'm sure that, well, I'm not particularly sure, but Habakkuk, I don't think he knew what would happen when God said, hey, the Babylonians are coming your way. They're going to destroy your country and everything that's coming. And I'm not sure if he, we don't know what happened to Habakkuk. We don't know. But he knew what was coming. And if it were me in his case, I would assume that I would die and all my family would die as this nation comes and destroys us. Look back at chapter 3, verse 16. What does Habakkuk say? He says, I hear. So he says, God, I hear what's coming. My body trembles. My lips quiver. So at what was coming, he was physically moved. He says, rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me at the news of what is coming. Yet, I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon the people who will invade us. And then look at chapter 3. Flip over there. Excuse me, we're at 3:16. Look at the next few verses there in chapter 3. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, produce of the olive oil fail, the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off. This is all about death, brothers and sisters. Though death happen all around me, and though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. I believe he knows very clearly. God assures Habakkuk that he is the God of life. And to have faith in the living God is to have life. I believe God is saying, Habakkuk, the Babylonians are my vessel for judgment upon Israel for your sins, for breaking my covenant. I think he's saying that. But he's saying, Habakkuk, a day is coming when I will judge the Babylonians for their sins as well. For the soul that sins will die. The wages of sin is death. But you, right now, Habakkuk, you live by faith. Brothers and sisters, faith is the opposite of death. To have faith in God is to have eternal life. Therefore, faith is life. And this life comes from who? Comes from God. The Old Testament teaches this principle. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel says this, I will give you a new heart, a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Gil prayed that a moment ago. That's Ezekiel 36, 26. This is really the doctrine of regeneration. Jesus says to Nicodemus, what does he say? You must be born from above, or you must be born again. Something must happen. Let me give a little illustration. I think even the children here can understand this one. Kids, look up here at me. How many of us like stuffed animals? I was talking even with little Georgia May a minute ago. Who did she bring? Little Piggy. Is that right, Piggy? Okay. Piggy, yeah. Little Piggy. Abby's favorite is, she's in the back, standing back there. Her favorite is moose. She's got a moose. If the, not the Ronaldos, if the Grahams were here, Olivia's would be the sloth. She's got the little, or is it a sloth? Is that what it is? These animals, these stuffed animals. I remember even with Abby, taking Moose and talking to Abby with Moose. Hey, Abby, how are you? Wake up. We do that a lot. Wake up. It's time to get up. Time to get up. Time to get up. That's what Moose usually does. But then Moose, she goes to school. Moose stays in the bed. Where Moose lays, where Piggy lays, where Sloth lays, they are dead. I think that's why we like pets. We like pets because our dogs can come and lick us and sit on our laps and sit beside us and jump on us and walk around with us, or our cats. Even some people like cats. I like cats, but they purr, they rub up against us, they play. Well, they're alive. They're unlike those stuffed animals. Well, that's an okay illustration, but the Bible teaches that in the same kind of way, sinners are spiritually dead. So what does it mean to be dead? It means to be without life. And we trace this back, we know this, and I say this often, we trace this back, the reason we are dead spiritually is because of sin, particularly Adam and Eve's first sin. The Bible says because of that sin, sin entered into the world, and then Adam and Eve have children, and their children, and their children, and their children, our first parents, comes down to us this state of death, sin. It is our nature. It's the reason we choose to do bad things. We do choose to do good things as well, but we're still dead in our trespasses and sins. And to make another illustration, I do this one often because I think it gets to the point. If you break off your new plant that you planted in your garden, it is still green, but when you break it off, it is separated from its source of life. It will live for a while. That is what we are doing, because we all know that we will die. In fact, the older I get, the more stuff happens to my body. And those of you who are older than me, you know more when you're young, death will never come. But as we get older, we know that it's coming. We're still alive, though, physically. But as sinners outside of Christ, we are separated from our source of life. And the Bible teaches that clearly. Think of a stone. It is dead. It does not move. You can pick it up. You can throw it, and it will lay where it lands, so somebody picks it up and throws it again. It is dead. In the same way, without faith in the living God, we are like a rock. And this applies to Israel during Habakkuk's day. It applies to the Babylonians. It applies to Habakkuk. It applies to all of Adam's kin. That is us. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, though, Habakkuk 2:4 may be the most important verse in this book. That's why I want to spend two sermons on it. But this is God's answer, speaking about life, eternal life, as he waits for understanding in the coming judgment of the Babylonians. He says, God says to him, live by faith and you will live. We are the same. Judgment is coming. We don't know how, but it ultimately is coming in the end. It's coming to this world, and it is sure. And times now can be and are oftentimes unbearable because times are so difficult. And I know this week, Kristen and I went to a funeral of a Christian family who lives overseas. They've been out. You got my email, some of you. If you didn't, they've been out of the country for a year. Got back into the country. The day they got back, Good Friday, their son, 19-year-old, died in his sleep. Very interesting story. I was talking to the father during the funeral, and he was a believer in Christ. And he, even the night before, they were playing video games. Everyone was happy and jovial. He was doing well. He just went to bed that night and did not wake up. But even his father was telling me, he was saying, I'm not for tattoos. And I was trying not to get him to get a tattoo, but he got a tattoo on his side. And it had something to do with the death of Christ. But I don't remember the whole story, but it had April 3rd on it. That's the day that he died. Did y'all hear that story? His tattoo had April 3rd on it, the day he died, on the side of his body. But he told me, he said, but you know what? God is sovereign. God is in control. and as much as we mourn, and he's my only son, and as much as I miss, and we can all imagine that as parents. How would that be? But he said to me, John, I know that in the resurrection, I will see him. Well, back in Habakkuk here, God is teaching him, in the midst of everything that's coming your way in this life, and though it will lead to death, you live by faith now, and you will live. And as Habakkuk received comfort in these words, so we must also receive comfort, knowing that though we die, yet we will live. Do you remember the words of Jesus when one of his best friends, he heard that Lazarus had died? Well, he waited. How many remember days? Three, 4 days? 4 days? So 4 days. And then he took his disciples there, and 4 days later, he had a conversation with Lazarus's sister, Martha. And Martha, as he speaks to her, he says, Martha, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection on the last day. Excuse me. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Everyone who lives and believes in me, there's the trust, the belief, the faith, believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming into the world. Now, we're going to move to specifics next week and consider how Habakkuk looked forward to God's promise in Christ. But if we think about faith in God alone from our first truth this morning, and know that God will not give his glory to another, yet Jesus says, believe in me and you will live. What does that tell us? God will not give his glory to another. But who does he give it to? Jesus. But as Christians, and as we read the New Testament, and as we consider his birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and we read the words of Scripture, we know that Jesus is who? He is God in the flesh. One of the most fundamental truths of Orthodox Christianity. He is life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes, there's faith, believes in him will not perish but have what? Eternal life. This is what we're learning from Habakkuk. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. In who? Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the gospel, and we'll get there clearly next week. But God gives himself, in essence, as the only remedy for our problem of death. And this is the only way that he could do it, the only way to do it, because he does not make any mistakes. And it is the most beautiful plan to deliver, we'll see this next week, to deliver the gift of faith to his people so that they might live, so that we might have eternal life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the what? The life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3:36. As Christians, the Bible says we are living stones. It is so beautiful. Where would the Bible tell us about that? Can you remember? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 6. If you would, wake you up a little bit, turn with me to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, 4 to 6. This is what we have in Christ if we've believed on him. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." Brothers and sisters, God is the God who gives life, which is evidenced in faith. So to have faith is to have life. Finally this morning, truth number three, faith produces works. This is really the emphasis of the text, practically. Habakkuk couldn't understand. God says, "I know you don't understand, but here's what I'm doing, and here's how you're supposed to live as you wait for me to do this." So in everything that is going on, everything that's coming, this is how faith, this is how us, this is how our faith also works its way out in this world. Now, the root of faith here in this text is steadfast. And we'll see this next week, but God Himself is called steadfast. Same word is used of God in the root. And the result of God's faithfulness, steadfastness, is our steadfastness, our faithfulness. And those who trust in Him are faithful. I think of 1 Corinthians 15:58. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." And again, 1 Corinthians 15, what's he talking about there, if you know your Bibles? The resurrection. In the context of the resurrection, it is the Lord Jesus who conquers death. He is alive. And if His death accomplishes what it accomplishes, our righteousness, and He conquers death, then the righteous will live by faith. So if God is the source of our righteousness and life, here are the things that follow. How should we live? So with this in mind, thinking about faith, producing works. In fact, what Gil read this morning, add to your faith. I can't remember all the things, but steadfastness and virtue and goodness and at the end, love. So those who have faith, this is what follows. So how do you know you have faith? The kind of faith that he's talking about. Because we all say we have faith. The world says, "I have faith." How do you know? We know by our works. So with that in mind, I have some applications to think about as we leave today. First application. And when I say give these applications, think about that question. How does your faith work its way out in your understanding of what's going on and how you work and how you do? Well, the first application that I think that it's all over this, and we'll share this every week, God is sovereign. We must begin with this truth. I think that's what Habakkuk does. Brothers and sisters, I am not God. You are not God. Your ways are not His ways. His ways are not your ways. If I was trying to run this world, we'd all be dead already. I would mess it all up. God is not like us. This means we haven't begun to scratch the surface of all God's ways in the details of what's going on. I don't know what's going on in your life. Sickness, or someone you know is sick. Someone is dying, or you are. We all are at some point. Emotional stress, all kinds of physical things going on with your life, how things are going in your family, all the sins that are there, all of your work, all of your running around, whatever, and then thinking about this world when you watch the news and you go, "Oh, I just can't." But as Christians, we trust in the living God, we have life, and we know that He is sovereign, He's working these things out. For we know that God works all things for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. God is sovereign. Another application. Things do not happen by chance. God did not just create the world, stand back and say, have at it. Scriptures do not ever teach that. Ever. God is sovereign. Genesis 1:1 is enough. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So things do not happen by chance. As mysterious as it is, God controls and orders all things. The nations are tools. Even in Habakkuk here, what does he do? He brings these evil Babylonians upon his people. Go figure. That's what's given Habakkuk such a hard time. The nations are tools in the hand of God even today. And we are one of those nations. Isaiah 45:7. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. Lamentations 3:38. Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come? Did not Job in all of his suffering say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. I will trust in Him. Things do not happen by chance, but we must trust the Lord God through it all. So, another application that just follows this, we look by faith beyond our circumstances now. I think of Abraham and all of the Old Testament saints. They did not receive the promises of God in their lifetime. If you want to turn with me, fine, or if you want to listen to me read, Hebrews 11:13 to 16. After speaking about a number of folks who had faith and how they lived their lives, Hebrews 11:13 and following, the writer says, these men and women who had faith in the living God, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Brothers and sisters, we are strangers and exiles on the earth, and we have the promises of God here, and off we go to heaven. That causes us to live differently. He keeps on here. For people who speak like this make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. I don't want to live in this world forever unless God changes it and makes it anew, which is what He's going to do. We live in all kinds of mess and sin, but we are pilgrims and we are exiles. And we're going down the road to heaven where God will wipe away all of our tears and make all things new for His people, for His people. Anyway, I will repeat that. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a place for them. Another application. In chapter 2, verse 2, we see that Habakkuk wrote these things down for all of generations to see. And here we are today, the recipient of his words, preaching his words as the same truths that if we read the New Testament and read the words of Jesus, preach the same things. God reveals himself through words, and we have the final word in the Bible, words that are written. So therefore, by way of application, read it every day, memorize it, meditate upon it, speak to others about it. Something that I like to do every day, before I read, I say to God, God, even if I only read for a minute, or if I read for 30 minutes, I say, God, these are the words of life. Help me to understand them and apply them to my life today, and He will do that. That's a very simple thing that any of us can do. God, these are Your words. Help me and give me understanding. Another application. Patience is the character of those who wait by faith. Look at chapter 3, Habakkuk again, verse 16. We are a waiting people. Verse 16, he says, I hear, my body trembles, my lips quiver at the sound, rottenness enters my bones, my legs tremble beneath me, yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble. This was last 2 weeks ago's truth, really. We will wait on the Lord. And he may not give you understanding completely. In fact, He won't. But little by little, day by day, week after week, through our lives, we are sanctified more and more. And I can promise you, you will understand as you wait patiently one day, you'll understand more. But God will give you great understanding even now as you wait patiently. Finally, this morning, last little bit, application. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I'm just quoting a verse. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, that He rewards those who seek Him. And what is faith? Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We're going to talk about this more next week. But faith, I cannot tell you exactly. I can say what the Scriptures teach and I can understand, but in my little brain, in my little mind, God has created and fashioned faith for the purpose that we would know Him. Christ is the, He is the one who saves, but faith is the means that unites us to Christ. And so it's like God is saying, the only way you're going to be united to me as a sinner is through faith in Christ. But God has created it. Therefore, it has to be a gift, which is one of our truths next week from Ephesians 2:8-9. Has to be a gift. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. God has made it, though, and He gives it to His people. And we know Him, and then we are pleasing to Him. And He is certainly pleasing to us. 2 Corinthians 4:6. I'll end with this. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the righteous will live by faith. I hope these words are helpful. And I hope you're excited about next week, because I certainly am, to go deeper into faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You for these words today. They are good words. And I know that I can oftentimes not communicate well, and lots of other things I can say. But Father, we know that You are pleased, and You are glorified, and You express truth in the foolishness of preaching. And You use words. So Father, I pray that there's something today that You would drive home in every one of us about faith. That it must be in the living God. That faith is life, and that we know we have it because of what follows, how we understand You, how we live. May these things and more be driven home to us by Your Spirit as Christians today as we look unto Christ. If someone is not a Christian, Father, may these words not fall on deaf ears. Give them a heart of flesh. Take out their heart of stone and give life in Christ. Father, in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Amen.
If you would, please stand with me and let's sing.
find trust in God alone, my rock and my salvation. A fortress strong against my foes, and I will not be shaken. Though lips may bless and hearts may curse, and lies like arrows pierce me, I'll fix my heart on righteousness. I'll look to Him who hears me. And oh, praise Him, alleluia, my delight and my reward. Everlasting, never failing, my Redeemer, my God. Find rest, my soul, in God alone, amid the world's temptations. When evil seeks to take a hold, I'll cling to my salvation. Though riches come and riches go, don't set your heart upon them. The fields of hope in which I sow are harvested in heaven. And oh, praise Him, alleluia, my delight and my reward. Everlasting, never failing, my Redeemer, my God. I'll set my gaze on God alone and trust in Him completely. With every day pour out my soul, and He will prove His mercy. Though life is but a fleeting breath, a sigh too deep to measure, my King has crushed the curse of death, and I am His forever. And oh, praise Him, alleluia, my delight and my reward. Everlasting, never failing, my Redeemer, my God.
Heavenly Father, we do praise You and thank You for these words that were spoken through the sermon, the scripture. Thank You for Your scripture that we're able to read as to how to follow You, how to worship You, and how to share Your truths with those around us. I pray that that would be evident this week, that we would proclaim Your gospel through our actions and through our words actively, not passively, that we would follow You with all of our heart and all of our actions. In Your Son's name I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Grace Baptist Church podcast. You can listen to past sermons at podbean.com. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove to find us. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts. Search Grace Baptist Church China Grove. Service starts at 10. Thank you for listening, and remember to be intentional in making disciples this week.